Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to São Martinho S.A. conference call to discuss the results of the second quarter of the 2022-2023 harvest. Today with us, we have Mr. Felipe Vicchiato, CFO and Investor Relations Officer, and Mr. Alessandro Freitas Soares, New Business and Investor Relations Manager of São Martinho. The audio and the slides of this call are being broadcast simultaneously at the company's website, www.saomartinho.com.br/ir. We would like to inform you that all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company presentation. Later, there will be a Q&A session when further instructions will be given for investors and analysts only. Should you need assistance during the call, please press star zero to reach the operator. We would like to inform you that some remarks made during this call may be projections or forward-looking statements, and as such, they are subject to known and unknown risks and uncertainties, which may lead these such expectations not to materialize or be substantially different from those expressed in these remarks. Now, I would like to turn the floor over to Mr. Felipe Vicchiato, who will start today's presentation.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for participating in our call about the second quarter of the 2022-2023 harvest. On page number three, we have our agenda. We will be talking first about the financial highlight, then cash cost and our forecast up to the end of the year, the company's indebtedness, the price evolution for ethanol and sugar, guidance for the harvest that we published yesterday, and there was a revision, as well as the CapEx guidance. We have a summary here on the next page. In the quarter, the company had an 11.2% increase in net revenue. Our EBITDA was in line with last quarter. It was very strong in terms of results. Adjusted EBITDA dropped 10% because of the cost increase. Agricultural products, mainly fertilizers, et cetera. Our EBIT margin dropped 6.3 percentage points, going to 26%. Net income dropping 42%, being 212, and cash income dropping, going to 318. We sold less TRS, -3.8%. Here we have a summary per product, where you have ethanol in this quarter, 90,000 cubic meters of ethanol. Close to 3.8 reais per cubic meter, and which helped this going up 4% quarter-on-quarter. The carburet ethanol in the domestic market dropped a lot, in line with the prices of gasoline that dropped and ethanol followed suit. The exports offset the drop in the domestic market. For the next two quarters, we have about 100,000 cubic meters that will be exported, and that will partially offset the drop in prices of ethanol in the domestic market. Here on the next page, we have our cash cost. In the comparison of the half year up to September, 32% increase our cash cost in sugar, ethanol 30%, basically because of the increase in the cost of diesel, about 54% in the period, fertilizer 42%, Our estimate is that the cash cost for ethanol will be close to what it was during the year to date, 2.6 and 1.8 for sugar per ton. The cash cost goes up more than ethanol because of the freight expenses and the expenses to place sugar at the port. These expenses are higher than last year. And here you have the pie chart with a breakdown of the cash cost. Cane 37%, labor 18%. There was 12% negotiation, labor negotiation. SG&A 9% and diesel 8%. And the others I have already referred to. Now we have the company's indebtedness on the next page. We close with 4.2 million reals net debt. Net debt EBITDA 1.27. We had a variation of 45% because of working capital here, 1.8. As there was an increase in these costs, the cost of cane, when you form the cost of the product, $445 million in investment, expansion and improvement CapEx, cogeneration and the corn plant and other investments, the corn stock. We already have our warehouses full of corn in order to start the next harvest in January with the plant in full operation. So we have already acquired this corn, about 60% of the harvest, more or less. Dividends paid in the period. And we closed the year with 4.2, as you can see on the last column. We have a very long debt, 5.4 years on average. Only 20% of our debt is short term, and the remainder is long term. In our indebtedness, 92% is CDI pegged. Let's see the hedge evolution of the company. 6 months, our average price of sugar was close to 2,000. Own cane and Consecana, given the history of hedge that we have, the hedge of our own cane was something close to 10% lower than the Consecana. And we expect that for the next half year, we may go to a price close to the Consecana, which is close to 2.3. And for the next one, we have already hedged. At the date, we had 370,000 tons, which gives about 40% of our own sugar cane for next year. Supposing we crush the same amount of sugar cane that we are crushing this year, and this should go up, but for calculation purposes, supposing the same percentage, it would be about 40%. Sugar on the screen, the price is 14% higher than hydrous. And if this premium remains, we should have a more sugar harvest from today until April. We have a lot of time still to make this decision about that. On the last two slides, just to finalize the presentation, with what I have described regarding production, we have updated our guidance, the 1.4% drop in crushing, 20 million tons of sugar cane. This is due to a combination of the own sugar cane and also in third party. And this is the reason why we will be crushing less. And TRS, dropping 2.7% vis-a-vis the guidance because of the rainfall, and that was concentrated in September. We had a very fast deterioration in the curve of the TRS, and ultimately for the up-to-date, we will be having this drop. And ultimately, we see 2.7% less product vis-a-vis our guidance. We should be closing a production of sugar of about 1.2 million tons. On average, maximum sugar, maximum ethanol, and 900,000 ethanol. In ethanol, more or less 55% of the volume is hybrid and the remainder is hydrous, mainly in the Boa Vista unit. And lastly, looking at the last slide, we have reviewed our CapEx estimate. The increase was mainly in the modernization and expansion because of the projects. The first one is an irrigation project that will be irrigating about 20,000 hectares of sugarcane in São Martinho new plant of our own land. And we will have a very quick return in this project. This irrigation is very important because this is the reason why the CapEx is low and the return is high, because it's our own land. And we also approved another project for anhydrous ethanol production in São Paulo. And as of the next harvest, the company decided to have a more sugar mix, or will, if we do that, we will have 100% anhydrous and only Goiás will be making hydrous. So basically, it will be around 1.2 billion liters next year, and we will be starting the ethanol plant next year. Only 450,000 will be hydrous carburant ethanol for the domestic market. And this reduced the volatility of prices in the domestic market. So we do have this room for this decision if we have the situation that we had this year. So these were my initial remarks. And now I would like to open for questions. We will have a Q&A session now for investors and analysts. In order to ask a question, please press star one. Guilherme Palhares, Bank of America. Good morning, Felipe and other members of the investor relations team. We have two questions here. The company increased exports, having about 40% of the volume. Looking at the next few quarters, will you be keeping this level of exports? And a second question in relation to the CapEx. We saw the additional CapEx that you mentioned, and I would like to understand, when we look at the execution of the CapEx, do you have a timeline in terms of the disbursements that will be necessary for these projects? Guilherme, good afternoon. Thank you for the question. In relation to the ethanol exports, year to date, 173,000 cubic meters of ethanol between hydrous and anhydrous ethanol. And our estimate is that we will be totaling an additional 95,000, which would be around 250,000 cubic meters of ethanol. Proportionally speaking, we will have the 900,000 that I will be producing and something close to 27-28% in exports, and the export this year occurred because of a window that we had, and we have a lot of our own sugarcane with good volume of certification, so we can guarantee an additional 95,000 for the next few quarters, for the next few years. This will depend on the market. It's very difficult to make any kind of forecast right now, because in the previous years, this didn't happen. It was lower. And ethanol is increasing because of some restrictions for the production of ethanol in Europe. So we are prepared to take advantage of this window of opportunity in the domestic market. Consumption dropped quite steeply, the same as the price of gasoline, because consumers went more towards gasoline than ethanol, and this was where we had this window for exports. It's very difficult to forecast will be happening. Only in the next semester, in the next half year, we will be able to do that. In relation to the CapEx, the timeline is that we should be doing this up to March. The plant will be ready by March so that we may operate it and start production and irrigation as well. It happens right in the middle of the harvest. So we have to have the investments ready and made so that we may irrigate in the middle of the harvest. And corn and the plant will be ready. So this will be spent up to April. Just a follow-up question. In irrigation, are you going to buy the equipment? We will be using our own Vinasse channels. So this Vinasse channel is already in place, and this is where we will be putting the water for irrigation. So the irrigation that will be done will not be the drop by drop irrigation. Daniel Sasson, Itaú BBA. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for the questions. About taxes on fuels in the domestic market, what about your frame of mind regarding PLP 18? What do you believe will happen at the beginning of next year with a change in the federal government? Do you have any expectations regarding a timeline, for instance? It would be very interesting to learn what you are thinking about that. My second question has to do with the corn ethanol plant. Could you give us some color about the development of the project? And let's say there is an additional drop in prices in the domestic market. Let's say the fuel price policy is not pegged to the international prices. What will be your expectation regarding the profitability and the IRR for this project? Daniel, thank you for the question. I will start by the second one. We are starting to commission the corn ethanol plant right now in November. It will be fully operational in January. And in relation to the profitability coming from this plant has a combination of anhydrous ethanol. A very low energy consumption, only 60,000 megawatt hour, and with the volume of production of oil, which is very high. The DDGS is around 1,500 per ton, and that would be 150. So when you place this as a cost reduction factor in order to check the cash cost of the plant has about R$70 cash cost, which is very low. It is one of the lowest cash costs of ethanol that I have. And with that, we have a very big buffer regarding the decision to operate the plant should the prices go down. We believe that the ethanol price around 2.6, 2.8, it has a return of about 15% per year. I don't think prices will go down much further than this. But it would be very difficult to stop the plant because of prices. In relation, going back to your first question, it is very difficult to do any guesswork about taxes for next year. There is a debate going on at Congress about the budget, and it's a very complex debate. And we have to wait and see what the decision will be on the part of the government. But the good news is that President Lula has always defended ethanol since his first term of office. He understands the importance of ethanol for Brazil and for the world. But let's give one step back and wait, because this is not under our control. The only thing that we can control is our company, our operation, our costs. But prices, well, prices, you have the market giving the cards. And we are studying an additional flexibilization, maybe producing a little bit more sugar for the 25. But anyway, I would rather not say anything about that because we have to wait for the decision made by the government. Thank you. Leonardo Alencar, XP. Good afternoon, Felipe, everybody. Thank you for the question. I would like to make a follow-up about the ethanol and the CapEx. You're talking about the production of anhydrous and the exports. What about exports? Do you have anything scheduled or programmed for storage at the port, for instance? Will you be having more volume from third parties? And something I would like to understand a little bit better, the CapEx that you have in irrigation that you were talking about, what is the expectation of improvement in productivity with this irrigation? And will you be investing more in other regions as well after this one? Leo, thank you for the question. I would like to start by the second one. Our estimate, is that with irrigation, we will have 10,000 to 15,000 tons more in this area because it is inversely proportional to the amount of rainfall in the year. A year like this one, a very dry one, let's say I had the operation of irrigation already, I would have more, but in a normal year, it would be from 10 to 15. This irrigation plan is only for Usina São Martinho, the São Martinho plant, and we intend to expand it to Santa Cruz and Boa Vista, but the CapEx would be higher. Because this technology that we are using now, the use of irrigation through the finance infrastructure that we have, would be more expensive in the other areas. But depending on the results, we will be able to do this in the next few plants. Let's wait for the weather conditions to go back to normal. Let's wait for us to have good rainfall, and October was on average, was according to the average or within the average. And if we have enough rainfall, we are not going to need irrigation. Irrigation is only necessary when you have an abnormal condition, such as we had in relation to the exports of ethanol. In fact, the investment in anhydrous that will be made will lead us to produce more in São Martinho. And maybe in the intercrop period, maybe we will be able to transform more hydrous into anhydrous. And because there would be a real option to do a dehydration during the intercrop year, producing more anhydrous. And this year, we didn't have to invest anything in terms of storage. We organized our logistics to deliver ethanol for exports, and it went straight to the port, and there was no additional expenses regarding storage. Thank you. Gabriel Barra, Citibank. Thank you for the questions, Felipe. Two questions. When you look at the yield, you have revised the guidance for production. And could you help us think about the next few years? How do you see this productivity in this harvest vis-a-vis the CapEx? And also you have an increase in CapEx to correct potential products or problem products to increase productivity. And the second, the company has a very low indebtedness, a very low leverage, and with an uncertain scenario for the sugar situation and also for ethanol because of taxes and pricing policy. So how are you thinking about investment and capital allocation for the next year? And also a very fast follow-up about your exports. What about the export premiums? You have more focus on anhydrous to depend less on the domestic market. So maybe you could talk about this premium for the export market so that we may think about the next harvest vis-a-vis ethanol prices. Gabriel, thank you for the question. The first question about yield. For the next harvest, There is no additional CapEx that has to be made in order to increase yield. Usually, CapEx is in the previous harvest during the crop treatment and irrigation in this case. And we have already done it now, so this is the reason why our CapEx was high. We have to correct the soil and many other things. And for the next year, this is not going to happen unless we have a very exceptional weather situation, which is not something that we are counting on. So next year, there should be no news about CapEx beyond what we are talking about here. In relation to yield estimate, if our summer is normal, it will be going up 5% to 10%. This is the range. In the best scenario, the best case scenario, let's say we have a lot of rain during the evening and during the night, and a lot of sunshine during the day, which is the necessary combination, we could go up to 10%. This happened from 16 to 17, I think. You can look at the yield curves, and we had a 10% increase, and our sugarcane plantation is ready for that, but it will depend on the weather conditions. A lot of rain during the night and a lot of sunshine during the day. And with this kind of situation, you have a lot of a very big increase, and the summer rains will increase the size and the weight of the sugarcane, and this leads to a better yield. Our goal for the next 2, 3 years is around 24 million tons. Everything is prepared for that, but we will depend on this weather situation that I described. In relation to your second question about exports and premiums, as I said before, we really don't know what the premium will be for the next year. This year was outstanding, very good. And part of this premium was because the price of the domestic market dropped steeply. Let's say we didn't have this steep drop in the domestic market. Exports wouldn't have been as high as they were. So it depends on the tax issue, but the project that we did has a return of about 20%. Even if I place anhydrous in the domestic market at historical prices, anything higher than that means a relevant improvement in the returns. Regarding capital allocation, you talked about the definition or a possible change in the pricing policy. And because of that, we do not have major projects. And we have a project at the Santa Cruz unit, and the CapEx would be 180 million reals. And during 2 years, to have it ready up and going around 2025, only this one. And this is not so relevant. Whatever we have left in cash, we will be paying out dividends. And we are studying this changing mix to produce a little bit more sugar in some of our units. But so far, we do not have an estimate for CapEx or for returns. We will try to minimize our exposure to the domestic market as far as ethanol is concerned.
Very clear, Felipe. Thank you.
Thiago Duarte, BTG Pactual. Felipe, good afternoon. Felipe, two additional questions about your CapEx guidance for modernization and expansion. First, of the 220 million reais more that are included in this line for the current harvest, how much is for flexibilization of anhydrous and how much is for the irrigation project at São Martinho? The first clarification. The second, how much additional potential do you have for anhydrous coming from the flexibilization of your sales? I don't know if you can quantify how much more anhydrous you will be able to make. Also, I have a question about a remark that you made about the room that you have of 5%-10% to increase yield. I'm not sure whether it's a little bit too soon to talk about that, but how much do you believe that with the increase in crushing around 5%-10%, how much do you think will bring down your unit cash cost considering a lower price of diesel and/or fertilizers that have been dropping? Is it too early to talk about that? Thank you.
Thiago, thank you for the questions. In relation to the breakdown of the CapEx, about 60 million reais will be for the industrial part to make more anhydrous, and the remainder will be for irrigation, as I mentioned. On the anhydrous side, we can make an additional 80,000 cubic meters if you look at the sugar mix approximately, or more, 160,000 if we do a more ethanol mix. This is the order of magnitude that we can do with this CapEx. In relation to costs, if you look at 7.5%, we should be reducing our unit cost by about 5% for next year. There are some other costs, although fertilizer costs will be dropping next year. Labor has recurrent inflation. Also agricultural machinery, we do not see any drop in prices. We have to wait and see, waiting for a stabilization in the price of agricultural machinery. In this comparison, it should be dropping an additional 5%. This is the order of magnitude that we are considering.
Super clear. Another follow-up. With the startup of the corn plant in mid-November, do you have an estimate or a ballpark figure of the amount of corn you will be able to crush still in the 2022-2023 harvest?
It should be equivalent to 3 months of production.
We are talking, well, not necessarily sales of IBGE.
because it takes longer to reach full productivity. And we have to test with the clients first, because they have to test the quality so that they start to place their orders. $120,000 from January to March. Thank you very much. Matheus Entel, UBS. Please ask a question. Good afternoon. About your hedge strategy, Felipe said a lot is yet to happen, but maybe the price is a little bit lower than the past harvests. Looking at what you have been doing historically, are you going to follow the same strategy, or are you going to wait for a potential return of taxes and the energy policy to be established by the next administration? And what about the impact of the tax benefits and the tax credits that were approved recently? When will they materialize, and how will they materialize, both the state and federal credits and the impact on the company's results? Matheus, this is a benefit that the federal government transferred to the states regarding the ICMS tax. And this has already been posted to the result. The figures that you see for the second quarter already include 45 million reals in the company's results coming from that, from this credit. So it's already posted to the results in this quarter. Our results would have been worse if it were not for that. So we have already recognized that. And we receive over the next few quarters in order to for this to materialize as cash. Your first question regarding our hedge strategy. We expect that in December, we may have at least half of the next harvest already hedged. This is our initial estimate. And the fact that we have not accelerated so much, it's because of two things. We cannot really recover a lot in the next year, given that the costs have gone up steeply. Most of the players, in our opinion, have not made investments because of a shortage in cash, really. Even having a more normal weather, there will be no major impact on the production of sugarcane. And second, we see a very squeezed sugar market coming from the fact that India is gaining speed in terms of ethanol production there, and they should be removing more sugar from the market and further reducing sugar exports from India. So we see this at a very good level for us. But we believe that up to 50% up to December should be done because of the company's policy. This is what we expect. in the next few quarters? Thank you.
I would like to remind you that in order to ask a question, you should press star one. In order to remove your question from the queue, please press star two. Please stand by while we wait for questions. Peter from Levante said, biogas energy, how do you see these projects? Any news about diesel replacement? We have a cogeneration project at São Martinho. It was approved in 2019, and this project, the plant should be concluded, or the boiler should be ready by July next year, and the plant should be started up in August. And so more cogeneration next year, and for 2025 on, São Martinho would be going up to 1.2 gigawatts of energy in cogeneration. Besides, it will depend on the price of energy in auctions to check the profitability, so they have the possibility of placing the cogeneration in São Martinho and Santa Cruz as well, but it will depend on prices. The last time we checked, in order to have a reasonable return, it would be necessary to have 280 reais per megawatt hour, very far from what the previous auction was. In relation to the biogas, as I said, we are studying at Santa Cruz to do the biogas project by means of Lagoas. In Vinasse, and part of the biomethane, biogas and biomethane, part of this biomethane should supply about 20% of our fleet, mainly trucks. So there is a degree of attraction because it replaces the diesel. When car companies start to produce bigger trucks and higher torque and harvesters that may run with biomethane, this should unleash our project in the other units. For the time being, we are talking about Santa Cruz biomethane that should be sold as a replacement of gas, as a non-renewable carbon source. In order to ask a question by telephone, you should press star one. As there are no more questions, I would like to turn the floor over to Mr. Felipe Vicchiato. Thank you very much. Our team and myself will be available to answer any questions that you might have. We will be reporting the third quarter in mid-February. As I said before, sugar prices should be better, and part of our hedge is in longer screens. The cost is already passed, that is to say, it shouldn't go up a lot, and we expect better results for the next two quarters. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. São Martinho conference call has come to an end. Thank you very much for participating, and we wish you all a very good afternoon.